Thank you for standing by. This is the conference operator. Welcome to the Sangoma Technologies fourth quarter full year 2019 investor conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode and the conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to David Moore, Chief Financial Officer. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sangoma investor call. We are recording the call and we'll make it available on our website for anyone who is unable to join us live. I'm here today together with Bill Wignall, Sangoma's President and Chief Executive Officer, and John Tobia, our EVP Corporate Development and General Counsel, to take you through the results of our fourth quarter and full year for fiscal 2019, which ended on June 30th, 2019, as well as our most recent acquisition announced almost simultaneously. As you can tell, we've been busy. We will discuss the press releases that were distributed over the wire services on Friday, together with the company's audited financial statements and Q4 MD&A, which are available on SEDAR and also on Sangoma's own website. As a reminder, Sangoma reports under International Financial Reporting Standards, IFRS, and during the call, we may refer to a few terms such as operating income, EBITDA, and adjusted cash flow that are not IFRS measures, but which are defined in our MD&A. Please also note that unless otherwise stated, all reference to dollars are to the Canadian dollar. Before we start, I'd like to remind you that statements made during the course of this call that are not purely historical are forward-looking statements regarding the company or management's intentions, hopes, beliefs, expectations, and strategies for the future. Because such statements deal with future events, they are subject to various risks and uncertainties, and actual results might differ materially from those projected in the forward-looking statements. Important factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements are discussed in the accompanying MD&A and in the company's annual audited financial statements posted on SEDAR.com. With that, I will hand the call over to Bill Wignall.
Thank you, David, and good morning, everyone. For the call this morning, I've structured my prepared remarks into four sections. I will start by discussing our acquisition of VI, our eighth in 8 years. Second, I will walk you through our Q4 and fiscal 2019 financial results. Third, I will discuss forward guidance for fiscal 2020, provided for the first time in Friday's press release. And fourth, I'll then offer a brief update on the evolution of our company strategy over the past several years, a summary that will be familiar to those of you who have joined these calls for the past few years. Finally, I'll hand the call back over to David so that we may take your questions in our typical open Q&A session. With that, let's turn to Section 1 on the acquisition of VoIP Innovations. As a reminder, before we get started, VI had previously reported under U.S. GAAP, of course, not IFRS. Most of you will know by now that we announced the acquisition of VoIP Innovations, LLC, Friday after markets closed, which we are very excited about. I'd like to cover this topic for you by briefly discussing VI and its business. Then I'll describe the strategic rationale behind the acquisition, as well as its advantages. And to wrap up this section, I'll explain the transaction itself and the associated financing that was used to complete the deal. I'll now describe VI and the business we've acquired. VI is a privately held cloud communication company that has been growing consistently over the last several years. They have about 35 talented employees, all based in their Pittsburgh office. The company is led by the president, who we are pleased to report will be staying with us to help grow this business for Sangoma. VI products specialize in wholesale SIP trunking as the primary line of business. This service is sold to partners, who I'll describe in a moment, but not typically to end users. Their wholesale SIP trunking service is therefore sold with a usage-based pricing model, as required by those types of companies in the value chain. Sangoma also has a SIP trunking business, as you may be aware, but our service, called SIPStation, is typically sold to end users and is priced accordingly using a flat rate model. The company has also recently launched its new strategic communications platform as a service, or CPaaS, product. CPaaS is an exciting new product category receiving significant attention from customers and investors alike that enables developers to add communications capabilities such as voice, video, messaging, etc., to their software and web applications without having to be communications or networking experts. The VI CPaaS product is called Appy Days. CPaaS as a category is quite hot these days, with the likes of Twilio or Nexmo, which was acquired by Vonage, commanding very high valuation multiples. VI's customers are a series of partners that then resell the service to their own customers, who are the ultimate end users, as you'd expect, given the wholesale model. These kinds of VI customers include MSPs, service providers, PBX resellers, call centers, and some large enterprises as well, most of which are based in North America. An example or two might be a traditional reseller who would sell the SIP service to connect the premise PBX they are selling concurrently, or it could be a service provider, such as a UCaaS company, since most all UCaaS offerings bundle SIP trunks as an integral part of their service. Sangoma does this with our UCaaS service as well. VI has over 1,400 customers with no significant customer concentration and a very successful channel program to recruit such partners. Financially, VI has no debt, positive net working capital, and is cash flow positive. It generated $18.9 million U.S. in revenue for the year ended December 31st and would have produced adjusted EBITDA of about $5.6 million U.S. in 2018. Very solid company. Second, I'd like to next discuss the strategic rationale and benefits of acquiring VI. Sangoma continues to look for prudent ways to grow our product portfolio, customer base, distribution network, overall sales, recurring revenue, and EBITDA. This acquisition is strategic for us to all six of those reasons, and with about 90% of VI revenue being recurring, it should increase Sangoma's pro forma recurring and services revenue to approximately 45% of total sales. And from the VI point of view, they wanted to be part of a larger organization with more resources, more products, a global footprint, etc. Strategically, I think the fit is obvious. VI is a cloud company, and thus its sales are almost entirely recurring revenue, both of which are core to our stated direction. So strategically, it's right on point. Next, Sangoma knows the SIP trunking business very well, so adding a wholesale channel and that customer base to our existing go-to-market approach and our current end-user clients is quite strategic. As you may have seen, Sangoma was recently ranked in a highly credible industry study of over 3,000 people as the top 2019 SMB SIP trunking company. So we like the SIP trunking business. It's a key part of our cloud service. We think we're good at it, and thus we felt it prudent to continue our market-leading position by adding wholesale capabilities and expertise. Further, we are excited to now add a CPaaS offering to round out our growing product portfolio and augment Sangoma's UCaaS and SIP trunking products. Sangoma sees an opportunity to help companies create communications applications using Appy Days, and the starting point can be our existing UCaaS and SIP trunking customers, as well as our huge base of Astris users who are already application developers, an asset that any CPaaS company must nurture and one that Sangoma already has. These additional applications can be written by us, but also by third parties, which is one of the beautiful things about CPaaS. CPaaS is designed to enable developers to add these communication capabilities to their software and web apps without having to be communications or networking experts. Finally, we see real cross-selling opportunities between the companies. For instance, offering the rest of the Sangoma product portfolio through the VI channel, which has been asking for more products and services beyond SIP trunking to offer their customers. We can deliver that to them. We can expand the VI service internationally. We can offer a wholesale SIP trunking service to our channel partners that today sell on-premise PBXs and may need a SIP trunk to connect them into the network. And, of course, taking the new CPaaS product to Sangoma customers and channel partners. Lastly, I'll explain in more detail the structure of the transaction and our financing strategy behind it. Sangoma acquired all the outstanding shares of VI for $36 million U.S. upfront, comprised of $30 million in cash and $6 million in shares. Given the U.S. $5.6 million in EBITDA that I mentioned earlier, this transaction is therefore being completed on an upfront purchase price equal to about 6.4 times EBITDA on a trailing basis, an accretive transaction for us. Another, up to $6 million U.S., may be paid in cash pending the achievement of predetermined revenue targets for VI during the 12-month period following closing. The cash portion of the consideration has been funded through a combination of cash on hand, which primarily came from the equity financing we completed in the summer, and, to minimize dilution, a new credit facility jointly from TD and BMO, which is replacing Sangoma's former debt. A total of approximately $46 million has been drawn on this facility at closing, with about $22 million used to pay off the previous facilities. This new facility also provides for up to $8 million in a term loan, which would be utilized in about 1 year to pay out any of the up to $6 million U.S. in contingent consideration that is earned, which would not be drawn upon until that time, a cost-effective and flexible funding model. Finally, it also includes a $10 million revolver available for general working capital purposes. The new credit facility will be drawn in U.S. dollars, repaid over 6 years, and is expected to have an interest rate of about 6.75% per annum at closing. To summarize this acquisition, our eighth in 8 years, VI provides the combined company with several strategic advantages, including increased scale, a recurring revenue contribution that continues to grow, robust EBITDA margins, an entirely new product category in CPaaS, a broader customer base, and an excellent new sales channel that has expressed the desire for Sangoma's broader portfolio. I'd like to pause here to offer a thank you. Your company has gotten quite adept at acquisitions, as you've seen, a skill we consider to be important given our strategy to complement critical operational strength and organic growth with carefully chosen acquisitions. So I would like to thank our shareholders and investors for your confidence. Without the continued support and patience, this transaction would not have been possible. Overall, we're very excited about the acquisition and wish to welcome the entire team at VI, its customers and suppliers, to the Sangoma family. Now let's turn to our financial results for fiscal 2019. Our fourth quarter, ending on June 30, was a record and the 18th quarter in a row where we've delivered more revenue for the same quarter in the preceding year. Sales for the final quarter of fiscal 19 were $30.1 million, 71% more than in the same quarter last year. The increase in sales came from the acquisition of Digium in September 2018, the compounding of recurring revenue and services, and the ongoing intrinsic growth at Sangoma. Gross profit of $18.7 million for the fourth quarter was 90% higher than that of the fourth quarter in fiscal 18. On a percentage basis, Sangoma's gross margin for Q4 was just over 60% of revenue, pretty much as expected these days, and 6 points higher than the fourth quarter of fiscal 18 due to the Digium acquisition together with a slightly more favorable product mix. Operating expenses were $16 million in the fourth quarter, up significantly from the same quarter in 2018, mostly reflecting the additional expense following the Digium acquisition and some controlled spending increases to invest in Sangoma's growth. EBITDA was $4.1 million for the quarter, well above the $2.5 million of last year, and at 13% of sales, is on track for what we guided towards for fiscal 20, about one quarter ahead of schedule. Next, I'll provide the update for the full fiscal year 2019. Sales for the year ended June 30, 2019, were $109.6 million, up 91% from the $57.4 million in fiscal 18. As indicated earlier, the top-line growth this year was fueled by the same factors that affected Q4, namely a mixture of intrinsic growth at Sangoma, the compounding of our services revenue, and most directly by the acquisitions of the CCD business from Dialogic in January 2018, and Digium in September 2018. Gross profit for the year was $66.8 million, over twice that realized in fiscal 18. Gross margin at 61% for the year is higher than the previous year, which is mainly driven by the impact of the CCD and Digium acquisitions, together, again, with a slightly more favorable product mix. Operating expense for fiscal 19 was $59.8 million, reflecting continued investment to drive Sangoma's top-line growth and the additional costs attributable to the CCD and Digium acquired businesses. EBITDA for the year ended was $12.3 million, 81% higher than the EBITDA in fiscal 18. And for the last portion of my commentary on fiscal 19, I'll briefly touch on a couple of highlights from our balance sheet and cash flow. We entered Q4 with $7.1 million of cash on hand and finished fiscal 19 with $11.7 million. Subsequent to year-end, in an effort to bolster our balance sheet and provide the initial capital to complete the VI transaction, we completed a bought deal of common equity for net proceeds of $21.6 million. Sangoma finished its fiscal year with $22.7 million in debt, mostly due to the acquisition of Digium, and we had positive net working capital at June 30th of $5.3 million. Finally, for the year, I'm pleased to see $13.5 million of adjusted cash flow from operations compared to $5.9 million in fiscal 18. For this measure, we take out the one-time effect of acquisitions to help us compare on a more apples-to-apples basis across time periods. Okay, with those comments on financial results, I hope they convey the magnitude of growth since last year and the continued overall strengthening of our business. I'd like to turn to our newly introduced fiscal 20 guidance. As you may recall, we commenced providing guidance back in early calendar 2017, and many of you have told us you found this helpful for obvious reasons. In the 3 years since, I'm proud that we've not missed guidance a single time, including for fiscal 19, as you've now heard. With that, let's discuss the company's guidance for the fiscal 2020 year, as just released on Friday. We expect our revenue for fiscal 20 to be between $135 and $143 million, and our EBITDA to be between $19 and $20 million. With the acquisition of VI today, it's worth noting that this guidance includes about 8.5 months of the merged entity. And for my final section of prepared remarks, let's now turn to an update on your company's strategy. As we've added quite a few new shareholders during the past year, I'll do this section in a bit more detail today, which we acknowledge will include explanations of some historical progress that longer-term shareholders will already be familiar with. Please bear with me. As those of you who've joined us for these calls previously will know, I've characterized Sangoma's turnaround using the phrase investing to drive restarted growth. We continue to seek that growth through a combination of organic means augmented with prudent M&A activity, all while demanding healthy profitability. This is a conscious decision from your board of directors, one that most of you also support based upon discussions with many of the folks on this call, and we are continuing on that path. Several years ago, when new management came in to take over the reins at Sangoma, we recognized that sales of telephony cards were unavoidably going to gradually decline as networks gravitated away from the PSTN towards the internet. So the first stage of strategy was to begin a complete turnaround and rebuild of the company. It manifested as three principal planks: growth through broadening the product portfolio, penetrating new customer segments, and selling into new geographies. Over the next couple of years, we evolved from a single product line company to one with a much broader portfolio made up of multiple product lines, all part of plank number one, which has taken us on the path to becoming a full UC provider, both on-premise and in the cloud. In order to expand our market presence, Sangoma began targeting not just our traditional customers in the SMB segment, but also enterprise, OEMs, and carriers, fulfilling the second plank in that turnaround strategy. And plank number three was to globalize the company and increase revenue outside of North America, especially in regions with higher growth rates. This has the ancillary benefit of also extending the life cycle of our PSTN-based products, since those regions are moving away from the PSTN more gradually than in the more developed economies. As the turnaround phase was unfolding, the next step in strategy was to go from a portfolio of individual products built during that phase to a complete solution. So Sangoma now has the ability to offer a full UC suite that includes not only the PBX software as the central part or the brains of this full solution, but also the other products that purchasers often need with such a phone system that might include phones, telephony cards, gateways, SBCs, etc. I think you can see that the whole has proven greater than the sum of the individual parts and has allowed us to compete for a larger share of wallet in each sales cycle. And finally, the most recent phase in our strategy was to take that full solution that could be sold on-premise, which is industry jargon, meaning that the software is installed at the customer site, and introduce a cloud-based service in which we host our own software in data centers. We then use it to provide a monthly subscription service for customers who prefer a hosted cloud-based service to the on-premise model. This enabled the recurring revenue to begin its growth phase at Sangoma. One needs the full solution before launching a cloud service because of the nature of cloud customers who tend to prefer simplicity and are not interested in hearing, "We have a cloud service, but please go buy your gateway from one of these three companies, or your SBC from one of these two, or your phones from one of these four vendors." That update on strategy pretty much takes you to the end of fiscal 17. In 2018, our strategy included two important acquisitions. I'm pleased to say that both have proven to be excellent decisions. VoIP Supply is performing well, giving us a sales boost, doing so with a strong e-commerce presence, is growing, and delivering EBITDA in line with our expectations. CCD was part of Sangoma for the final two quarters of fiscal 18 and has added nicely to recurring revenue and delivered strong gross margin. In fiscal 19, we made the strategic and transformative acquisition of Digium, bringing together the two most widely used open source products in our industry under one roof. We have updated you on the progress with that integration over the past year, and most of you will now know that this work is now complete in the merged company, putting us soundly into the $100 million plus revenue group of technology companies. And to bring you up to current day, we've now started fiscal 20 off with a bang by announcing our eighth acquisition in 8 years of VI, a cloud communications company. With this, we are adding scale, recurring revenue, talented people, valued customers and suppliers, and a strategic new product category. So, where to from here strategically? Well, your company continues along its current path, one that has served us well and one that we are consistently executing on. We want to grow much further via our mix of organic and M&A, but we also seek to do so prudently, balancing growth and the investments that drive it with a desire for reasonable profitability and stability. In our marketplace, we try to identify competitive strategies in which we have a unique advantage or positioning, so we are very consciously not simply fighting head-to-head against larger industry players, but instead competing in a way where we have an advantage. And that wise approach has worked quite well over recent years. Okay, that's it for my prepared remarks. I'd like to wrap up with a quick summary. Sangoma has come a long way from being a nano-cap stock with about $10 million in sales and running around break-even. You now see, via a proven track record, that we're getting there. That needs organic growth driven by new products, new customers, and compounding recurring revenue, but it also benefits from prudent acquisitions with good strategic advantages that can augment the organic growth. As we continue to grow, we are able to explore larger acquisitions that can add both new product lines and significant recurring revenue streams to our existing business. Sangoma is now a much larger company with sales well in excess of $100 million, proven growth, 13 to 14% EBITDA margins, expanding recurring revenue, positive cash flow, and the management to continue winning new customers, building new products, and acquiring new businesses. This has created a strong public company with a history of delivering on its promises to both customers and shareholders. We've come a long way and fully intend to continue on this path. As I've said previously, given your company's financial performance, track record, current state of the business, and encouraging outlook, your board sees today's share price in the $40 to $50 range as dramatically undervalued. The four analysts who cover us have price targets way above today's level, and many competitors in our product categories are commanding much higher multiples. So we continue to work hard to get to these types of valuations, which we think are reasonable. With that, I'd like to close off my prepared remarks for today. I remain very proud of our progress and our track record at Sangoma. We've come a long way in just a few short years when many folks didn't think it was possible. but we've now developed a reputation as a company that says it will do what it says it will do. Once again, I would like to personally welcome our new colleagues from VI. I'd like to thank our traditional Sangoma employees for their incredibly hard work delivering fiscal 19, our customers for their loyalty, our bank partners for their support, and you, our investors, for your confidence as we work hard to deliver on our promises to customers and shareholders. We trust you see the rewards of that hard work, and with that, I'll wrap up, hoping I provided you with a clear understanding of your company, and turn the call back to David for questions.
Thank you, Bill. To make sure everyone knows how to ask questions, I will ask the operator to go over the instructions. Operator, we're ready to take questions now, please.
Certainly. To join the question queue, you may press star, then 1 on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then 2. Once again, to join the question queue, please press star, then 1 now. Our first question comes from Nick Corcoran of Acumen Capital.
Good morning and congratulations on the acquisition and great quarter.
Hey, Nick. Thank you.
So just a couple questions for me on the acquisition and the quarter. My first is, how do you see the integration of VI unfolding?
Well, I think the integration is probably less dramatic than the work to do so with Digium. VI is going to be run as a business unit of Sangoma. It's financially healthy, as you've now heard, Nick. We don't plan to rush any of those integration decisions. For instance, there are no personnel changes or terminations. We don't see, very significant operating cost reductions or savings in non-personnel spending. Over time, we'll work together to seek out the revenue synergies that I described, but on a cost basis, there's not a whole lot there. In terms of personnel integration, they already have a very competent president. He's not one of the selling shareholders. He's going to stay on board, as I said, to help us drive growth. He will report to me, his name is Sebastian, and the VI staff will continue reporting to him.
That's great. And can you give me any indication of what the accretion might be on maybe a pro forma basis?
David, do we want to do that? Or do we want to wait for – I think, Nick, given it's day one, give us a little bit of time to kind of get our hands around the whole thing before we start quantifying that.
That's fair. And then maybe just dig in a little bit deeper. You said that the business has been growing for the last several years. Can you give any indication what the organic growth rate has been?
Well, we've tried not to break down the growth by, segments of our company or product line. What could I say about this without kind of deviating from that philosophy? They've been growing consistently. Over the last few years, they've grown positively and in single digits. How's that, Nick?
That's great. And then the last question for me is, what do you expect in terms of one-time costs for this transaction?
It won't be very significant. One-time costs are often associated with breaking contracts or terminating leases or restructuring of personnel. Since none of those are going to be hugely material, I don't think the one-time costs will be large like they've been in other cases or with Digium. Beyond that, I don't think we should try and quantify it on day one. But over the next, quarter or two, as we get some of that under our belt, we'll give you some numbers if it evolves that way, Nick.
That'd be great. That's all for me. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Nick.
Our next question comes from Gavin Fairweather of Cormark.
Hey there. Good morning.
Hey, Gavin.
Congratulations on the deal in the quarter. A few questions for you here. I was hoping just to start out on the process, and maybe you can just touch on the process with VI that you went through. And specifically, I was hoping you could touch on how important fit was. It was mentioned in the press release, but how important of a factor was that in the decision to ultimately sell to Sangoma?
Okay, let me take the first one, the process, and then the fit second. You know, the process was pretty typical. You know, the processes like this, as you know very well, you know, often fall into one of two buckets. Either we're out finding a company that's not for sale, or a company that might be available for purchase has hired a banker and run a process. There were a number of parties involved in a process that lasted for about a year in this case, I would guess. We've been actively engaged with them for the last several months, exclusively for the last part of that, as you might expect. And on a fit basis, you know, I guess I would say my answer to that is the same as it is, you know, in every acquisition. Fit is probably the most important thing, right? If there's not a fit in terms of, I don't know, product needs or customer segments or a channel that we're looking for or geographic access, then it doesn't matter whether it's financially attractive or creative, and this is no different. You know, we've expanded our SIP trunking business a lot over the last year. It's a really material part of our cloud services, and cloud's the future. So SIP trunking is something we know and love. You've seen from independent surveys that we seem to be performing quite well in that product category. So the primary traditional business of BI was, you know, really clearly a fit for us. And the new product line they've launched, the CPaaS offering, which I've touched on being, you know, so hot right now, is one we've been looking at for the past while. And, you know, we're super interested in exploring that, especially given that you need these this base of developers to build the apps, which is extremely hard to create if you don't already have it. And given Sangoma has products that have attracted such a base, we hope we might be able to tap into that. It's one of the things we'll be talking about at our AstraCon trade show later this month.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about fit the other way in terms of the decision of VI to sell to you. I mean, I think the president mentioned that in the press release, and I think you know, you mentioned there's not really any kind of personnel changes or heavy integration, so I was wondering if that was a factor.
Well, I think in the other direction, there were a few things that seemed to matter a lot to the sellers, right? And like any entrepreneur, in this case, it was two brothers who were building a company over many, many years, it becomes part of the legacy. And they're looking for a buyer who not only, you know, has the financial resources to get the deal done, but someone who cares strategically about the product, who values the people they've built personal relationships with, who will care about the customers and channels. You know, oftentimes you see a financial buyer in the mix, and financial buyers tend not to have the same level of care and sensitivity to those kinds of issues that a strategic buyer like Sangoma does. So I don't think I should speak on their behalf, Gavin, but as you saw in the quote, you know, we got to know those brothers very well. You know, that they would be the first to say that mattered a lot when they were choosing who to sell to.
Okay, that's helpful. So on the wholesale SIP business, you know, you talk about a recurring revenue model. My understanding is it is based on usage. Can you, and you might not answer this question, but can you help me understand kind of the churn rate on that type of business?
Yeah, not yet. The churn rate is very controlled. Positive right now. We don't want to start citing stats on day one. We haven't even done that for our core business. if you want to kind of peel back the layers a little bit, I probably won't talk about churn and quantify it, but I could say that I know, Gavin, you'd sent me a note just asking a little bit about how it works. You know, there's two sub-components to the service. There's the portion of the service which is paid for monthly, but not based upon how much traffic. So you might be buying a DID or an 800 number or something. And then there's the other part of the business, which is using the network and paying for minutes of usage. So, you know, although that's not the direct answer to your question about churn, I'm trying to give you a bit of color about how that business works.
That's helpful. And then on the CPaaS side, you know, obviously an exciting product category. I'd imagine, you know, lots of appetite, particularly within the open sourced, you know, community that you help steward. Maybe you could just help me understand kind of how the CPaaS platform that's coming along with VI kind of differentiates itself between itself and Twilio or Vonage or some of the players active in that space.
Yeah, it's a little bit early. For me to do that, what I would say is, you know, if you picture where we are in the launch of that product, it's brand new. It's in the process of being, you know, actively launched as we speak. It's too soon for me to describe to you, you know, the competitive differentiation of AppyDays versus Twilio or AppyDays versus Nexmo, which was the Vonage acquisition, or any of the others. The only thing that I touched on during the call that you just mentioned when you said the open source portion is it's less in this case about the fact that Sangoma is in open source and more about the fact that almost coincidentally one of those open source products happens to target developers who are looking to make use of a development platform or toolkit. Because, as you know, Asterisk is not a fully built-out product that's ready to be used as an application. It's a starting point to build an application. And because of that, there is a wide base of very loyal, very engaged developers. We have a conference that's dedicated entirely to them. That they love when we do things right, and if we ever screw up and do something wrong, they're very vocal about it. And so that passion, we hope, will play out well in tapping into the base of users who can make use of AppyDays, which is one of the things that a company like Twilio that you asked about did so well. You know, they focused on building up a loyal base of developers who could build Twilio apps. And how we end up differentiating versus them, versus others, like Nexmo or others, as I said, it's just a little bit too early, Gavin.
Okay, that's fair. And then just lastly, before I pass the line, just on the guidance, I appreciate the business is getting bigger and kind of harder to kind of forecast and put guidance out there, but hoping you could just kind of share some of your thoughts and assumptions that went into the guidance there.
Wow, that's tough. It's a super long process. We've been working on it for weeks. You know, the thinking, as I believe you could imagine, is both top-down and bottom-up. So it's what do we think is reasonable given where we're coming from, what were last year's results. We do a bottom-up analysis about, you know, product categories and by channel and by region. We talk to all of the sales regions. They provide numbers. We roll them up. We try and make sure there's a little bit of cushion between the roll-up and our corporate targets. We look at businesses which might be operating a little bit more independently, like VoIP Supply needs to, or in this case, like VI will, at least for some period of time. You know, we then look at what else is going out there in the world. And I know, Gavin, you and I spoke at an investor conference recently about this. The management team here at Sangoma, like I think lots of other management teams at other companies that have nothing to do with us, see the economic outlook as maybe just a little bit more uncertain towards the latter part of 2019 versus how we felt last year. You know, you can look around the globe and in you know 30 seconds fire off 30 different worrisome situations, whether it's Brexit or, you know, U.S.-China or Germany in recession, or, you know, Iran-Saudi conflict, or North Korea, or, you know, negative interest rate mortgages in Scandinavia, or Venezuela, or. So I would say that probably also influences us a little bit. We're being perhaps a little more cautious about growth outlooks going into fiscal 20 than we did for fiscal 19.
Okay, that's it for me. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Gabriel Leung of Beacon Securities.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my questions.
Okay.
Hi there. A couple things. First on the acquisition. So on a go forward basis, as I think about sales and marketing, how should we think about your SIP service offering? I mean, as you sign new customers, how do we think about which SIP service are you going to market? Is it going to be SIP Station? Is it going to be VI? What are the thoughts around that?
Yeah, it's going to be both, and that's primarily because they appeal to different audiences. So SIP Station is a service to end users and tied heavily into the product lines we have today, and that's the one that has the flat rate pricing, as makes sense for those kinds of customers, and that product will continue being sold to those types of users. The VI service is meant for partners who then take that SIP trunking service and sell it on to their end user customers, and we will continue to sell the VI service to those types of customers. It's those kinds of companies, if you think about an MSP or a service provider like perhaps a UCaaS company or a large call center or a PBX reseller who want the usage-based pricing, and that actually helps create a little bit of margin between us and them that lets them have some both skin in the game as well as financial benefit from reselling the service game. So that they both continue full-fledged as they are now.
Gotcha. And I imagine the wholesale market's been competitive for several years now. So maybe talk a little bit about how VI has been able to maintain its share. You mentioned that they were still growing single digits. Maybe talk about how they've been able to maintain the share, grow positively as it has, and how does, being tied to Sangoma help them in terms of potentially accelerating their own growth?
Yeah. So two parts to your question. How do they differentiate and how might we help them? So, VI differentiates in a few different ways. One is the way in which customers use the service and sign on to the VI platform involves a product which they call Titanium, which provides a very elegant user interface to their customers to sign on their end users, configure the service, control what their customer sees. It allows some white labeling. And so what the customers can do with the service matches the way those customers run their business. VI also has very, very wide coverage across the U.S. and almost all rate centers, much more so even than their nearest competitors. They have a number of other carriers into which they connect. And so if you're a VI customer, you're looking to make sure you can get coverage wherever your customers are. And then from the point of view of how can Sangoma help, as I said, there's a bunch of things we can do. We can help their customers be more successful by offering them more products to sell into their end users, which helps them grow faster and be more able to financially invest in selling all of the products from us they sell, including the VI SIP trunking service. We can take the service internationally and roll out the capability to sell SIP trunking outside of North America. We can provide that same service into a new set of Sangoma customers and channel partners that provide the same type of SIP trunking service to a new set of users. So there's a bunch of things we can do there. Which ones of those get the most traction and accelerate, the fastest, it's just a bit too early to talk about, Gabe.
Gotcha. Thanks for that. And two more questions for me, more on the financial side. So number one, what sort of gross margin profile would VI have? Is it comparable to what you guys have right now in that 60% range? That's the first question. Second question on the financial side is, so it looks like your net debt to EBITDA ratio is about 2x now. What's your comfort level on the upper end in terms of that ratio as we think about future acquisitions?
Yeah. So two totally different questions. Do you want to just factual, and the answer is yes. The VI gross margin is very similar to ours, Gabe, and we see that continuing. On the, you know, the leverage question and debt to EBITDA, you've understood it correctly. You know, we've talked about this in prior calls. There's no single right answer. You know, we've been anywhere between 1.5 and 2.5 times debt to EBITDA. That feels like the right range. The management team here is pretty comfortable with a leverage in around 2x, I would say. It arguably goes up to 2.5 or maybe even as high as 3 temporarily if we needed to at the time of an acquisition. But I don't think anyone here around the table or on the rest of the executive team is interested in staying at 3x. We'd want that to come down naturally over time. You know, we've used leverage the way we have, partly because, you know, interest rates are reasonable these days, and partly because of the comment I made in my prepared remarks that, in our view, the share price is just crazy low. And so we're not looking to dilute any more than necessary, and tapping into the debt markets just makes sense. You know, how much debt to take on, of course, is a function of the profitability and cash flow profile of the target, either at the time we buy it or after whatever level of restructuring might be needed on a case-by-case basis. So I guess that's the best I can do in a general sense.
Gotcha. That's perfect. Thanks very much for your time, and congrats to the team on the acquisition and the results.
Thank you, Gabe.
Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. Our next question comes from David Kwan of PI Financial.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, David.
Can you talk about any retention contracts that you might have in place at VI?
David or John, do you want to talk about that? I mean, just generally, David, you know, that's kind of, you know, it involves individuals and what they do or don't want, you know, in the public domain. They're not NEOs, so it's not something we would typically disclose. At any acquisition, you know, we look at that, of course. This is no different. We've handled that appropriately. Please trust that we're good at it and we know where to use it and where not to, and we're in good shape here.
Okay. And on the customer base, you say because there's no significant customers. Can you maybe talk about the size of the largest customer and maybe, you know, what, say, the top 10 customers would account for as a percentage of revenue?
How would I give you some color on that? My recollection, John, from due diligence, the largest customer was around $300K per year. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, the customer concentration is very low in this case. There's about 1,400 customers in the VI customer base. From the top of my head, David, I don't know what the revenue that's attributable to the top 10 would be. But they're kind of like Sangoma, right? There are no customers that are large enough that if we were to lose a single client, it would be disruptive to the business. You know, having said that, anytime you buy a company, you do your very best to try and make sure you don't lose any customers. So there's a program in place rolling out this week in which, just as you would expect from any competent company, we're proactively touching each of those customers, both the traditional Sangoma customer base as well as the VI customers. There'll be a little tiger team put in place to do calls to some of the larger ones, visits to the largest. So I feel pretty good about that. In general, across the acquisitions, we've not really had any kind of, customer attrition in any significant or material way. So I think Sangoma is pretty good at that.
So to give you some context, the top 50 accounted for approximately 30% of the revenue.
50 for 30%. Okay. Thank you, John.
That's helpful. Oh, thanks, guys. And Bill, just on the contingent payment of $6 million US, can you provide any details as to, I guess, the criteria for VI to hit those? And I assume it sounds like it's not an all or none, that they can earn a portion of that.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's correct. It's not all or nothing. The earnout's measured over 12 months. It's on revenue, because that's what we need the business focused on. But I think beyond that, David, it's not really appropriate on day one to talk about the specific revenue targets or the payout structure. Let's see how that unfolds. I think you would recall that in past acquisitions where there was some form of earnout, we've been prepared partway through the year to say what we could if the performance was becoming obvious. And in one case, we kind of locked in the payment partway through the year rather than waiting through the end of the year. So just give us a bit of time and we'll update you as we can, but not today.
So on that front, the metrics themselves are competitively sensitive, so that won't be disclosed. And as Bill said, over time, we will disclose sort of tracking to give an indication of whether an earnout will or will not be paid.
Good.
That's fair. I appreciate that. Just a couple more questions. As it relates to Digium, I assume here the integration is mostly complete there?
Yeah, I think for all intents and purposes, it is complete, right? There's always, you know, in any acquisition, a little bit of stuff that lingers on. You know, in this case, I would say, what would be an example of that? There's some IT work and business systems that's ongoing. But from an investor point of view, looking in from the outside, you could think of it as complete, yes.
Great. And can you comment maybe on the progress that you've made on cross-selling of each other's platforms?
Between Sangoma and Digium, did you mean,
yeah,
David?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, that looks very different depending upon, you know, where you are in the world geographically. You know, if you think outside of North America, you may remember that Sangoma had quite strong global presence with staff and a well-built-out channel network in lots of places around the world, whereas Digium was more North American focused. So the cross-selling outside of North America really has come down to taking the Digium product portfolio and managing the sales process through the Sangoma International Sales Organization. The Digium channel partners that existed outside of North America have been integrated into that network. The cross-selling there, I think, is going perfectly fine. There are some Digium customers that are buying some Sangoma products and lots of Sangoma customers who are buying Digium products. Many of the Digium channel partners have come on board and are very happy to have someone able to support them in their local market, visiting them. You know, it's not such a big deal to go visit a customer, you know, in Europe when you have people in the UK or the Benelux or Spain or Italy or Germany, et cetera, versus popping a person on a plane and flying across the ocean. In the US, the cross-selling looks a little bit different. In the US, we had two different sales teams. Those teams are now integrated into a single organization. The channel partners that traditionally sold Sangoma are now selling Digium products as well, and the channel partners that sold Digium or Sangoma products are now selling Digium and vice versa. The cross-selling, I would say, is going pretty well. I think there's still more room to improve, and part of that involves us getting familiarity or comfort level or product expertise inside the two separate channels to continue to grow. So if you're a traditional Digium reseller, you probably are still more comfortable with the Digium products and more familiar with them. And if you're a traditional Sangoma reseller, the opposite applies. We're trying to do everything we can to continue educating that group. We hold meetings with with those channels. I mentioned our AstroCon conference, which starts next week at the end of the month. We have partners come in and meet all day to talk about this stuff. So it feels pretty good to me, David, but, you know, we're less than a year into it, and so there's room for that to continue to improve.
Appreciate the color, Bill. Last question here. Just on the services revenue in the quarter, it was down a bit sequentially. I think that's the first time we've seen that happen in a couple of years. Can you provide any color on what happened there?
David, could I ask you to take that one?
So, David, there's a lot of things going backwards and forwards in any one particular quarter. excuse me. And on the services side, the way that gets billed, the IFRS implications of it as we've been integrating Digium and things like that. So there's nothing to worry about on that front.
So it sounds like, David, it was just a year-end adjustment then?
Yeah, it's more of the finalization of the year's numbers and just double-checking all the categories as we go through our audit process. There's a slight change in revenue recognition that was required this year. We've been through all of that. So there's not, but from a directional perspective, don't look at that one quarter as being indicative of any change in the direction.
Maybe the other thing I could add, thank you, David, is, you know, the cloud portion of that services business, because you may remember there's a maintenance portion in there as well. The cloud portion continues to grow very well. You know, there's nothing strange or unusual that happened in the quarter about that, David. We're continuing to grow in a 25, 30, 24, 29, you know, percent range. It depends upon which quarter, which year, which service inside the cloud service portfolio. So I just don't want you to have any worry about that part of the business, which is one of the engines of growth and continues to hum along quite nicely.
No, I appreciate the details there, guys. Congrats on the quarter and the acquisition. That's it for me.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question is a follow-up from Nick Corcoran of Acumen Capital.
Hi, guys. Just one more question for me. Just going back to the quarter, you talked in the preliminary revenue that the quarter benefited from a significant one-time order. Can you maybe just give some additional details on that?
Yeah, sure. We could. You know, we've said a couple of times over the last two or three years that we've had customers come in looking to build specific applications for a use case with an end user. This was a company who was integrating a product from us into their solution and selling it on to a retailer to deploy at each store location. We're not at liberty to tell you the names of that, as I think you would understand. You know, we'd like to be able to tell everybody about customers, but not every customer wants their name used. The order for that project, I think, happened, what, in at least two quarters, David, over time? Yes. It was a good-sized order, Nick. And as I said, at the time we released the preliminary numbers, I think that was the end of July or early August. That's why we try and tell you guys when that happens, anytime it does. So that was a factor in Q4. And then at the same time, we said, you know, please just remember that in addition to that happening in Q4, Q1 has seasonality to it because of our strange fiscal year. Our Q1 includes the summer months, and summer months are always slower for us, especially in Europe, where many countries basically close down for 1 month at a time. So if you're thinking about the impact of that revenue in Q4, you should also have in your mind the seasonality in Q1.
That's great color. And then maybe just think about the EBITDA margins. They're really strong in Q4. How much did that one-time sale help the margins in the quarter?
Yeah, actually, that's a good point. I guess we didn't talk about that. I had an email from someone saying, hey, I guess if you get a large order, you'll probably have to really slash your prices, and that probably hurts margin. And of course, that's a logical assumption. Totally understand why someone would presume that. In this case, that was not true. The margins on this order were perfectly good. They would have helped a little bit. You know, it depends almost entirely, Nick, on the specifics of any one of those larger orders. We don't get them that frequently anymore. You know, compared to 5 years ago, we talked explicitly in every call about how much of the revenue came from these large orders, and you know, it's much more distributed now. But if a particular order, you know, is part of a project that's really competitive, or for a product where we have a lot of competition, then you know, you could imagine that we have to be more aggressive on pricing. If the project is a bit less competitive and it's for a product where we have fewer direct competitors, we don't have to be cutting prices much. This particular project was the latter, but that's not necessarily true of any one other large order that could pop up down the road in any one specific quarter.
Then maybe Q1 of this year won't have VI in it yet. How should we think about margins? Like, will they come off a little bit, or do you expect them to stay flat with Q4?
I don't know that yet, Nick. We're not finished financial results. It shouldn't be anything, you know, significant or material. You know, we could see margins up or down 1 point, 2 points in any one quarter based upon product mix, and I would think that should be true for Q1.
Great. That's all for me. Congratulations again on the acquisition, and great quarter.
Thank you.
Our next question is a follow-up from Gavin Fairweather of Cormark.
Just a quick follow-up for me. Can you touch on channel overlap between VI and Sangoma and Digium?
Yeah, there's not very much channel overlap, Gavin. There would be one or two or three or five. You know, we've not analyzed all 1,400 in detail, but there's not very many. That was a little bit of a surprise to us. It's a positive observation, not a negative observation. But the overlap is smaller than one might have guessed, given both companies sell SIP trunking, and that's primarily because of the kind of customer base.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay.
This concludes the question and answer session. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Mr. Moore for any closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. Ladies and gentlemen, we really appreciate you joining us today. This concludes the conference call, a recording of which will be available on our website shortly. I want to thank you for participating, and again, we really appreciate your support to Sangoma over the past year, and have a very pleasant rest of your day.
Thank you, everyone. Bye for now.
This concludes today's conference call. You may disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.